Hello, I'm Joey Molinaro, and this is episode 3 of Tightrope. In the last episode, you found me taking cheap buses around England and Scotland. As my February UK dates were winding down, I was nervously anticipating my supposed motorcycle seller.
One man in the middle right, nothing in the back of your mind, and shit-faced as the work gets done.
And I don't know what I was more afraid of, not being sold the bike or getting the bike and having to follow through with this crazy motorcycle tour idea. I have a deep fascination with pianos. It was my first instrument, after all. If you look at my website, punkhousepianos.tumblr.com, you'll see my travel blog. They might be a little out of tune, but every venue seems to have one. They're always some kind of art piece or some kind of altar to where I could play the kind of slow, sludgy, hypnotic riffs that my fast-paced grindcore violin setup just can't do very well. My set has a bass drum, amplified piano, vocals, and in place of a snare drum, I just slap the top of the piano lid. I have a friend in England named Thomas, and he helped me quite a bit with international logistics. And he connected a gig at a vintage shop. The owners were middle-aged rockers with a lot of excitement to host the gig. It was their first gig, and they sold food and drinks at their little cafe. The concept was sort of a mashup of rock, folk, and experimental. I got the vibe from the owners that they would be okay with a few piano tunes. And they were okay with the lid slapping as well, but it turns out that the piano belonged to their teenage daughter, who was quite nervous about the lid slapping. The next morning was the same routine, more or less, that I was used to. Wake up early, and then go back to sleep for a while, wake up again, enjoy a leisurely breakfast laid out by Thomas and Liz, then finally pack and remember that I still had clothes that were in the dryer, and then I realized that I was about to miss the last trolley to the bus station, so I ran like a maniac, and I missed it. There were no alternatives, so I started walking toward the bus station, and at this point it was 19 minutes after departure, and I went to the first bus that looked like it was ready to pull away, and it was my bus. I made it to my gig in Bristol. That night and the next day I walked through Bristol, which has some of the finest graffiti and murals of any city that I've been to. Then I headed off to London for my next gig. London was really hard for me to find a gig, so I pulled the same kind of stunt that I would do in America. I found the venue, I found the bands, I made the flyer, I made the Facebook event. I did it all myself. I organized the gig in a city I'd never been to. Yeah. So in episode one, I flew into London and I played a group improv set. So I had some familiarity, but it wasn't a proper gig. I was thinking to myself, I'm always so cheap when I travel, but there were several times already on this point where I was with friends and they said, oh, let's take a taxi. I never take taxis. I'd been thinking to myself, well, yeah, I'm in London, I've got all this gear, I've got this stupid rolling suitcase that I hate. And at that point, I hear a sound behind me. A guy in a black cab says, hey man, take a taxi. And I say, okay. And so I get in, and the guy, he's excited. He sees I have an instrument, and I tell him where I'm going. I tell him I'm going to Brixton. He says, Brixton, yeah, oh, yeah, Brixton. And it was funny because I was all sprawled out and sweaty and disgusting in this cab. And here he was fully prepared to believe that I was Brixton native David Bowie. But I watched the meter tick away, one fiver and then another fiver, and I was still just not even close to Brixton, so I really had to burst the bubble. I mean, he was really excited. He was going to look me up online and tell his friends to come to the gig and everything. You know, he thought he had a big time star in his car, and I just had to ask him to let me out at the next underground station. On the roof, and I happened to book the one band through a friend of mine. I booked her band, at least that's what I thought. Her name's Holly Jade O'Leary, and she's a costumer who I met in Berlin, and she just has an excellent aesthetic. She's wildly talented, and I trust anything she does. It was a goth pagan type setup with these two really strong, impossibly small singers and instrumentalists with amazing costumes. When I saw them enter the venue, I was confused because this person walks up, but I thought it was Holly. It must be Holly. It was Holly's band. She says, no, I'm Alice. What happened was I booked a band, put them on the Facebook event, and put them on the flyer without even having been asked. I essentially just put their name on a flyer, and the first time they heard of it was when they saw the flyer. And as it turns out, it was my favorite gig of the first 4 weeks of touring, by far. At the end of the night, there was a dance party and an open bar. And I went and spent the night with my friend Safi. We'll be right back. The next day, I caught a flight to Dublin, had an enjoyable evening with Paul and his friends. I had a gig at an experimental music series, and I was really pleased with the result. As it turns out, Dublin has a thriving music scene, but everyone seems to know each other, and in fact, they seem to be related to each other too. Sharing some music on mini disc, and I ripped them onto my computer, and I dug up his email address, and I hit him up, and he was shocked when he heard from me. I mean, I didn't think of it until after the gig, but he was there. He was at my gig. European squats are very different from almost anything that exists in America. They're usually large industrial spaces with multi-purpose areas, living, kitchens, venues, you name it. But my friend Sean was squatting at a two-bedroom house, and I got to hear some of his excellent poetry.
Won't change electric fuses, the tales of men are losing. For boys in mucky shoes, snap necks that fill up nooses, for parliamentary uses, and so the world it loses, it's boys to mucky shoes, that's none you'll do. The wailers on the deck.
A few days later, I played an astonishingly enjoyable gig at a quasi-squat place. It was at one point a squat. It was a little ambiguous. It was organized by Andy from Little Gem Records. Afterward, I went to a different party. My next gig was in Cork. I ended up having a really long night of beer and snooker, considering that I really don't like pool, much less snooker. So about this motorcycle, I did this search online and I dug deep. I dug really deep and I found an out-of-commission message board thread from 2007 or so, where people were talking about this garage and this person. We exchanged some email and I sent them the deposit. I think I sent more than half the deposit.
Yeah.
couple days before I got there, I made back, "Oh, sorry, man, I'm in France. I thought you were coming next week. There'll be someone there. Just you can show up there and we'll..." And so, you know, I'm imagining there's going to be a rusted bike behind a barn and isn't running and there's no paperwork. And so I'm feeling fairly pessimistic and in a sense relieved that I'm not going to have this encumbrance. So I head to the motorcycle shop. And I've been involved in a community of punk rock motorcyclists in Pittsburgh. But other than that, on the whole, in America, bikers tend to be far right wing. So going to a motorcycle collective to spend a night, well, I was expecting it to be a little bit of a culture shock after being around so many artists and activists. When I arrived, I was greeted by a friendly farm worker because the garage was on a functioning farm. There was a moment where he brought up the U.S. election and asked for my opinion, and I wasn't sure what side he was going to be on, but I stated my opinion, and he agreed with me. Another fellow came up and greeted me. He was a street musician in Kinsale who used to live in Athens, Georgia, and name-dropped Michael Stipe within the first 15 seconds of our meeting. Yeah. Finally, I met four international permaculture students who were busy chopping wood. So this was absolutely not a right-wing biker club. Then I met my bike, and it was exactly what I was hoping for. It was a Honda Duville. It's a 650cc bike, mid-size commuter bike, and while it's more or less unappealing in its design, as far as both its look and its, well, it's not built to be fun, it's built to be practical. It was never very popular, but it's fast, it's comfortable, it's efficient, it's got integrated storage, and they're cheap, and it's reliable as hell. The main thing I didn't like was the color. I can't do beige. So I had already been stockpiling stickers, and I covered it up with as many metal band stickers and Antifa stickers, any kind of stickers I could get my hands on. I dressed myself up in my winter gear and headed out for a test drive. Now, you might think it's not that difficult to drive on the left side of the road. I mean, of course it's difficult at first, but your brain will adjust, right? No. No, it's difficult, it's always difficult, and I never got used to it. I stopped at a restaurant by the bay for an inexpensive fish and chips, which was easily one of the best fish and chips I've ever had. I went back to the collective and hung out with friends for a little longer before packing up for the night. The next day, I headed out for my first real ride. It was about 4 hours to the ferry at Roscoff. It was a bit chilly, and I was one of the only bikers on the road, but I got there without any issue. This was Valentine's Day. I spent Valentine's Day alone on a ferry to France with my motorcycle, and it was by far the best Valentine's Day of my life. Listening to. You heard a little intro from the German, British, New York band Frogbelly and Symphony. It's a live performance of my solo piano set, which I sometimes call Final Eclipse. Then there was the great London power trio USA Nails, who we're actually not going to meet them for a while. This is just a premonition. because I'm in London. Then the Iceman Furnace Trio, there's bass, drum set, and trumpet with some noise coming from somewhere, maybe all three. That's Furnace, F-U-R-N-I-S-S. Then is a little live capture from Thranien, T-H-R-A-N-E-E-N. And they don't have anything online yet, but it's worth checking out. Then was Red Sea, an echo from my going away party in Pittsburgh. Then we met the Butterfly Wheel. Then was my friend Safi's band. I actually played with him in another improv project back in Oslo a couple years ago. But this is his project called Lafidki, L-A-F-I-D-K-I, and really cool synth music. You heard a little bit of live music from myself in Dublin, performance I was fairly happy with. Then was my friend from Brooklyn, now living in Dublin, Cal Folger Day. That's Cal, F-O-L-G-E-R-D-A-Y, and well worth looking up. Then you heard a live performance of my friend Sean Fitzgerald. And I don't think he has any music online, but if you ever visit Dublin, you really have to go to one of his ballad tours. He'll show you around the city and sing about it. Then was the band Vatican II, Roman numeral II, Vatican II from Dublin. You heard a little live capture of cool guy Tim from the Kinsale Motorcycle Shop. Always talking about booking a massive 3,000-person festival. Pretty sure it's not going to happen. Then was an echo from episode 1 from Empty Vessels from Connecticut. I played them whenever I picked up my motorcycle in the United States, so I brought it back when I picked up my motorcycle in Ireland. And I closed us out with an echo from last episode. That's D-Tub, D-T-U-B from Wales. Excellent live performed electronic music, all with the sticks. So check out all those artists on Bandcamp.